The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. We welcome you to Tuesday, and a lot happening. And some of the same stories that we were talking about yesterday remain very viable. Tim Tebow story. We'll also get into the NIL issue coming up here with several guests, including Michael Smith of the Sports Business Journal and Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. We'll also talk about the Dogs a little bit later on with Connor Riley of the AJC. Your phone calls are welcome here at 855-242-7285. I did a lot of the ESPN morning shows today, and did KJ and Z, and I did Get Up and talk to Mike Greenberg, and the topic was Tebow. And I know a lot of you have had very strong opinions on that, and we want to continue to share, though. But I want to give you some varying opinions, especially from former NFL players, including Keyshawn Johnson, at one time the number one pick in the draft, the year he came out of Southern Cal. And this is what Keyshawn had to say about Tim Tebow.
It's laughable. It's a problem on both sides to me. Here's the problem, starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're trying to rebuild something from the ground, or build something from the ground up. And I understand the relationship that you have with a coach. All coaches tend to bring in, like Jay said, people that kind of understand their program, and you know, but not 6 years after they retired. Stop it. Call it what it is. This wouldn't happen to nobody else except Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. But Urban Meyer also must understand that those people that are inside that locker room, those players, they sitting there going, what the hell are you doing?
Keyshawn Johnson earlier today. One or two other things before we get to your calls, and I do want to get to your calls on that subject and the other ones at 855-242-7285. I mentioned the NIL. We'll talk about that coming up here in a few minutes with Dennis Dodd. This is Mike Tannenbaum. You've heard Mike on our program before, former GM with the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. He's now ESPN's NFL front office insider. He said he didn't understand the signing at all.
I don't like it. I just don't see the upside in this move. He's 34 years old. He would be a backup. I just don't know of 34-year-old players that can come in and be a backup and play special teams. And you're taking away a roster spot from hopefully a young developmental player that could grow with a young nucleus, obviously led by Trevor Lawrence. And to me, this is probably through the lens of Urban Meyer saying, you know, a decade and a half ago, Tim Tebow was the most competitive guy that I've ever been around, and he could help set the culture. If I was in that building, what I would be pushing back, saying, Coach, that may be true. But in the NFL, Key, as you well know, players need to be led by players they believe can take them to where they want to go. And as a backup tight end, I just don't think Tim Tebow would have that same credibility as he once did when he was the starting quarterback at Florida.
Mike Tannenbaum on KJ and C and Z today on ESPN Radio. He also had this interesting comment. He just got through talking about him being a backup. Would he even make the team, Mike?
I just don't see how he makes the team. You know, Urban, and he's a really good coach. He's been historically great in college, but I just don't know. He has to earn a spot, and if he's just, you know, given a spot, that's going to cause a big problem, because players want to have a chance to win. And again, to me, just putting on my lens of a general manager and roster construction, if you're not a starter in the NFL with only 46 players dressing, you have to play special teams. So, you know, my question is Tim Tebow at 34 years old going to cover punts, cover kicks? That remains to be seen. Now, if he doesn't earn it, that's a totally different discussion. But I don't think you could sign him and say, hey, he definitely has a spot on this team.
Mike Tannenbaum with his view. So that's one of the subjects. I really want to get inside this, because yesterday we heard, well, Tim Tebow never had a fair shot, didn't get a fair chance in the NFL. You heard from a couple of people with strong NFL connections, Keyshawn and Mike Tannenbaum, a completely different story. So what is it? One of our topics today, we'll get into the NIL as well, what that means as we come closer to some resolution. The phone lines are wide open right now if you want to give us a ring. It is 855-242-7285. We're here for the next 4 hours, and let's begin with Pat, who is starting us off in Georgia. Pat?
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much. Two different things I wanted to get your take on. First, Tim Tebow. Let's stipulate that he makes the roster. With all you know about his background, can it be justified for him to take the place on the roster? And if the justification is there, what position would he play?
The position he's going to play is tight end. Whether or not he does anything at the QB position is open to interpretation. My guess is he would play a little bit in third or fourth down situations, wildcats, some things that he has had experience with. But the primary position is tight end.
And Urban would have to justify.
Well, hold on a second now. This is not high school. This is not peewee football where everybody has to justify to everyone else. This is professional football. Head coach can play his son if he wants to. So I think the justification part of the coin, Pat, is not germane to this issue. It's really up to the ownership to put anyone on their team they want.
Okay. Let me change the subjects. AJC, I think, wrote over the weekend that Georgia has a deficiency in the defensive backfield covering receivers. And in another article, they also said that, in their opinion, Clemson has the four best receiving core probably in the nation. So that matchup right there, Georgia needs to build a defense, and Clemson's already there on the offense. Is that going to determine a Clemson victory in Charlotte?
Well, first of all, you tell me, what did Clemson look like when they played the best team on their schedule last year, Ohio State? They got destroyed. They didn't look that great offensively.
No, you're right. However, Georgia is not Ohio State.
Well, first of all, I understand where you're coming from. It's fair. You're a fan, and you're trying to gather, like all of us, as much information as humanly possible. But the point is, we don't know. We don't know what what anyone's going to look like with a new quarterback and a new running back and new receivers. So I think it cuts both ways. Anyway, there is some interesting news. And the college football season is around the corner. We didn't have the luxury of any of this stuff last year, but it was just announced by Tennessee that their first game of the year, which is scheduled on Saturday against Bowling Green, is now going to be played on Thursday night in primetime on the SEC Network. So that game has just been announced, 8 o'clock start against Bowling Green, Neyland Stadium, and you can see it on the SEC Network. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back here on Tuesday afternoon. Let's grab Casey in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Casey.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
It is going great. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just so I was listening earlier, and somebody said that Tim Tebow is too old. You know, 34. He's too old to play wide receiver or tight end in the NFL. What about Vince Papale? I mean, didn't he do it?
Well, first of all, I don't think the age is necessarily a factor when you consider that Tom Brady's 43. It's the fact that he hasn't taken a regular season snap in the NFL since 2012.
Yeah, but you got to assume that he stays in shape, though, right?
Well, sure. But remember, you know, and I think a lot of people have forgotten, Tebow tried out again in 13 with New England, got cut. Didn't do anything in 14, tried out with the Eagles in 15, got cut, and then 18, 19, and 20, he played baseball. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any doubt Tim Tebow is in good shape, but what does that mean when it comes to playing in the NFL? Especially a position he's never played before.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the key here is the fact that he's playing. I'm just relating what critics are saying. I'm all for it, but what I heard today in the conversations that I had with countless people, one former NFL player, I think it was Keyshawn, may have been somebody else, he said that he didn't think the fact that you know he's ever done any blocking. Well, I disagree with that. Tebow played high school football. He played, I'm sure he's done it all. But, you know, none of this matters. He's going to be signed, and he'll either be on the team or not. Coach is up next. Coach is in Morristown, Tennessee. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How have you been?
Coach, what's up?
Well, you know, I know we've kind of wrote Tim off on a little bit about this, and I kind of understand where everybody's coming from, but I'd like to kind of think about it from another perspective. This could be I look at Tim as no different as any other undrafted free agent that gets signed. It doesn't guarantee him a spot on the team, and I think everybody has kind of spoke their mind about that. He obviously brings up a lot of excitement to a team that has had none, and maybe it leads him into another position within Urban's staff later on. I look at him kind of like a Taysom Hill from New Orleans now, as a backup to Drew Brees. Maybe he could be used as Wildcat sometime. I just realized Taysom Hill's 31, so there's not that big of age difference. It's just that Tim hasn't played in 6 years, where Taysom has, and it's a different position. I just don't. His chances are slim, I know, but more power to him. You know, if he makes it, great. If not, maybe it leads him into another career path that he hasn't done before in coaching. Just my thoughts.
Coach, I think that's what it's all about. I don't think this is about Tim Tebow really thinking he's going to make a difference. I just think, you know, here's where you have to always think about it through his eyes. What's he doing right now? Not much. This is a competitor. You understand that. You've been in the world of competitive athletics, and it is tough for anyone who has ever done anything as like him to suddenly stop. So you look and try to figure out what can you do. And just so happens that his next door neighbor said, what about being a part of my team? And I mean, how can you blame either side?
I can't. I think it's a way for Urban to bring Tim in to try to talk to younger players about the culture that Urban tries to have within his program, you know, and if that helps in the long run, fine. But he's and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's different to what he's signing, but I don't think he's any different than another undrafted free agent that gets signed. They're basically invited to camp. They're signed. They come in. If they make it, great. If they don't, now they're released. You know, that's the way I see this. But I think it could help the culture a little bit around.
Let me ask you another question, though. And I've heard a lot of resistance today, and I'll try to keep it on the field, not off. But the fact that, as some said, you know, he's getting a chance that maybe somebody else isn't. I'm not sure I really put much stock into that. This isn't Pop Warner football where everybody should get a chance. This is a pro football team, as I said a minute ago. But secondly, it's exciting to a lot of people. It's not, but to others it's polarizing. To others it's, they feel like he's being gifted something. How do you feel about that?
I don't think he's been given a spot on the team. That's my approach in this. He is an undrafted free agent in my mind, just like the other 30 that are going to come into camp that are going to be in on top of the roster that's already there. He's no different than an undrafted free agent in my mind. I think he's going to have a chance. His chances are slim at a position he's never played before, and that's the beginning and the end of it. But because, would he have this chance anywhere else? No, he wouldn't have this chance anywhere else. But if it brings some attention to a team that's had zero things to really write home about, more power to him.
Yeah, I made an argument earlier, Coach, that, you know, we're talking about the worst team in professional football with a position that I don't want to diminish the tight end position, but it's not the most important position. And we're not talking about even a starter. So I don't think even if he's a disaster and makes the team, it's not that big a deal.
I don't think at the end of the day it is, Paul. I know a lot of people are saying that he's keeping a spot from someone else, but you can go down the other 31 teams and see players that probably are marginal being that 53rd player on the team, if whether they should be there or not.
Thank you very much. Would love to hear some differing opinions. And Derek is up next in Cincinnati. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great.
I'm shocked I got through. I'm not a Tim Tebow fan because I'm a Steelers fan, so I haven't forgot the game. But I think that Tebow can bring a lot to Urban Meyer's team because he understands the verbiage. He understands what Urban is looking for. He can be another coach on the field. He can bring work ethic. And I don't even know if Urban Meyer has ever coached in the NFL, but Tim Tebow has played in the NFL.
You're right.
And that is astronomical in what we're doing and what we're talking about, especially for the young people coming, even the veterans. Tim Tebow can continue to talk to them in the locker room after the coach has said something on the field and be like, hey, this is what we're looking for. This is what this means. This is what his expectation is. And Urban can actually use Tim Tebow as an example when he's yelling at him or screaming or want extra laps or whatever. And he gets, and I actually hope he makes the team. And no, I
yeah,
don't
you know what? I think he is going to make the team because he's not going to be treated as just another walk-on free agent. Urban already
Correct.
Knows what he's capable of doing, and he also knows it may take him a while to develop.
I actually agree with you, and I think it's a good move. And the thing about it that people don't understand, things like this happen in sports all the time.
It happens in every walk of life. I mean, how many times at your work or mine has someone else gotten a job because of circumstances beyond whether or not they were capable or qualified?
1,000%. I'm not going to hold you up any longer. I understand the draft pick, both the draft picks. That works in Urban's favor. Now he has Tim Tebow. I hope it works out for him. I wish him the best of luck, and thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you very much. Mike is up next in Tallahassee. You're on the air. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller. I'd say a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I got to be candid with you. I think this is about dollars and cents. First off, from a marketing standpoint, Urban – is not as popular as he once was when he left Florida in the condition they were in. There's a lot of people in Jacksonville. Let's face it, Jacksonville's a Gator town.
Sure.
That are going to be welcoming him with open arms, number one. Number two, he partners with Tebow, who is without a doubt in the state of Florida one of the top most marketable athletes. And even if he plays a little, he's going to sell an extra 25,000-30,000 tickets. And let's face it, they struggle with ticket sales, whether they're winning or not. And he brings a culture of winning. So him and Urban can, you know, work together on building a winning culture somehow, some way. Now, is it sustainable? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't. One player is not going to make a difference on an NFL roster like LeBron does with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's just, I think it's all about marketing and about positioning and ticket sales. And I think it's a great move.
Yeah, and I think when you're Urban Meyer and you go to the owner of the franchise, and he's not spending a lot of money on Tebow either, okay? So he goes, go for it, because the residual, Tim Tebow, even in minor league baseball, and let's be honest, he wasn't very good. He still drew a lot of people, and it's not only the ticket sales. Nowadays, in all sports, it's memorabilia.
Paul, I would be interested to get your opinion. Will he sell more T-shirts or jerseys than the overall number one draft pick?
My sense is yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, let's take it. Let's take the fanatics at Clemson out of the way. He's not a really likable guy.
No. And you know, if Tebow scores a couple touchdowns early, I mean, the place is going to go crazy.
Absolutely. Hey, great point. So, excellent point. Really one of our better points we've had all week. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. Much more to do right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And we welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. And the subject about NIL continues to be debated. We are getting close. We hope, we think, especially in the aftermath of Mark Emmert's latest comment, someone who has been following this for a very long time and probably hoping one day he can look toward other things, is our next guest. He is Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. And Dennis, it is always great to have you back on the show. How are you?
Paul, I'm great. And yes, I would be love to talk about the Auburn quarterback situation right now. more than this.
Well, big news over the weekend, and you have talked to all the parties many, many times about this. So where are we right now?
It's up in the air. Mark Emmert made that statement in the Friday New York Times about wanting to get legislation now passed for NIL. The question is, why hasn't it been passed until now? Why hasn't it been passed now? By now, the Department of Justice wrote a letter to the NCAA in December, which put a halt to the NCAA legislation. I mean, that's the first question I have, and it hasn't been answered. That the DOJ signed off on any antitrust concerns they have about NIL. Apparently, Mark Emmert thinks so, and wants to go ahead with the colliding trains coming to the same station, with July 1st coming on, the five states having their own NIL bills. Congress trying to develop a bill to protect the NCAA so it doesn't get sued anymore in NIL, and the inevitability of student athletes. Having unprecedented ability to earn money for their name, image, and likeness. Those things are where they are.
On that subject, before we move on to what happens next, but and I know you've written about this before, Dennis, but as it stands, wouldn't congressional intervention put some of those states in legal jeopardy?
The NCAA needs congressional intervention because there would be a thing called preemption. Any national bill or parts of a national bill that would be passed would preempt those state laws.
Even the present lawsuits?
Which law?
Well, I mean, aren't there a couple of them out there, though, that are muddying the water? Maybe I'm mistaken on that.
In NIL, no, there's one. There's obviously the Austin thing
right.
coming
well,
up.
I'm talking about beyond that. Yeah. But anyway, let me let you finish before I continue to ruin the interview with my my interruptions.
So a congressional bill would preempt the states, basically. The congressional bill would override the states, or at least delay the states' implementation. Where what the NCAA is saying, we just need at least a limited antitrust exemption, and to put it in layman's terms, to keep us from getting sued if we implement, when and if we implement our NIL rules, which, by the way, are much less expansive than any of the bills being considered in any of these states, which is the issue. Florida's bill provides much more rights and leeway for the athletes than the NCAA would. So that's what they need now. It's almost like, yeah, we want to do this, but we know we're going to get sued back to the Stone Age or have to observe these state laws before we go forward. So they really backed themselves into a corner.
So based on everything you know, and you're really a good reader of tea leaves, what do you think, and we'll get to Austin in a second, but what do you think will happen next?
What will happen next is, will Congress act before, not July 1st, which is the five state laws coming into play. July 30th is when they break for the summer. I just talked to someone on the phone before we got on. So that's really the drop-dead date. Do they have something in place by July 30th? Because if they don't, and it looks like they're not, just reading the tea leaves, because we know how, you know, sometimes legislation takes a long time to pass a law in Congress. Then you've got 6 weeks of or more of really mayhem, where are the states have their laws? Are they going to observe them? Are the schools going to abide by any NCAA legislation that is passed? Does the NCAA then issue a blanket waiver, which has been talked about, which allows these five states to conduct business as they wish, and they will not get penalized? Because Mark Emmert's on the record is telling those athletes that were in play during the NCAA tournament, we will not prosecute athletes who follow state laws. Now that's him talking. You know, I don't know how much how much there is behind that, but he has said that publicly. So if there's not, then it's at least going to be a couple of months where you see where this is going. Paul, four of those five states are in that SEC footprint, where they're going to have an advantage in terms of handing out, in terms of recruiting, in terms of benefits, and, you know, be that as it may, until Congress comes back in September 21st.
Dennis, let me move over to the Supreme Court case, the Austin case. I know we're just all guessing here, but if you had to make a guess, based on what we heard during the oral arguments, which are not always a good indicator, what's your best guess?
Because I'm not an expert in this field, I don't cover the Supreme Court. I'm like everybody else. The questions the court had seemed to favor the plaintiffs on March 31st. It was like, wow, they're really taking shots at the NCAA. But what I'm told is there's a big difference between the hearing and what these justices actually do in their opinion. I have written a story quoting a Pepperdine law professor saying she thought it looked like, oh, what's the number? There's nine. 7-3 in favor of the plaintiffs, 5-4 at the worst. That's what she thinks right now. So I just defer to people like her.
Even if it's a victory, does it or does it not depend on how the language is written in the opinion?
Well, the opinion is the opinion. So it will, there'll be long, bloviated, pages of opinion on how they vote, but the vote will be the vote. And if it's in favor of the plaintiffs, that's the one the NCAA, at least right now, is really concerned about, because it takes into account educational benefits. This is part of that Alston suits, that schools could offer unlimited education-based benefits. And to break it down, here's what they're worried about. An Alabama could offer a Mac Jones a car, or give him a car while he's enrolled, because he lives 10 miles off campus and he's got to get to school to go to class. That's education. That's educationally beneficial. And all the decisions that they would have to make in that space. And then do those decisions themselves lead to lawsuits? What do you mean Mac Brown can't have a car? This is the Supreme Court decided this. That's what they're worried about. That's what this could lead to. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's going to be more appeal.
And help the audience, including myself, understand in terms of, let's say it's 5-4, 6-3, doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter, no.
We're talking about the law of the land here. There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else to go, but if this is goes against the plaintiffs, then I'm told that there will be a faction of Congress. Again, these bills need to reach the floor, be voted on, that will react with their own NIL legislation as a sort of revenge against this vote by the Supreme Court, which will do nothing but tax the NCAA again. So that's a parallel track to watch here. This lawsuit doesn't have to do with NIL per se. It does have to do with the NCAA's power and its diminishing power, no matter what happens in everything we're talking about. And that's what the piece was about yesterday, that no matter what happens, the NCAA, as a rules-making body, has lost a lot of leverage and is going to continue to lose that.
Dennis, the next couple of weeks, obviously, are going to be critical. If we get if the Alston ruling goes as the Pepperdine law professor predicts, and somehow whether Congress figures it out or not, what is July going to look like?
So I'll go even farther than that. I think, people ask me what's going to be the future of college athletics. I think you boil it down, and I think it'll be much like the discussion over cost of attendance a few years ago, where people lost their minds that one school's athletes might get $100 more a month than another athlete. We don't even talk about that now. It's not even a point of discussion. It will just be the new normal. Ohio State and Michigan will still fill the big house and the shoe for games. Maybe the quarterback makes more money than everybody else. The locker room won't be lost, which is one of the key defenses or one of the key points of the end. They'll lose the locker room. Well, how did that work at Oklahoma? Kyler Murray signed a $5 million bonus contract with the Oakland A's. Different sport, but he had turned pro in it, and he had that $5 million in his pocket. Well, he won the Heisman, led him to a playoff and a Big 12 title. Don't think he lost the locker room. So I think that's a straw man. That's a red hand. So it will go on. College athletics will go on as it is right now, I think. Just with more, not under the table, I don't want to say that, just with more attached to it. Players will get more benefits.
Dennis, I give you credit for keeping up with all this. I mean, we talk about it every day, but it is a mystifying conversation, and you've done a great job. Thank you so much for being here.
Paul, thanks for having me on.
Always great. One of the most knowledgeable people. Dennis understands what's going on. I give him credit for that. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bert is in Birmingham, and you're on the air.
Tebow, I wanted to get your opinion. To me, Tebow is one of the most impressive people I've ever seen. To go through all the scrutiny and pressure and to hold on to his faith. And, you know, physically, he's perfect as a tight end. If you can play quarterback, you can figure out the tight end position. How important is the route running? And, you know, other than being able to run the routes and take the beating, I don't know what else would be missing. And I respect your opinion, so
yeah, Bert,
I'm just curious.
I think Tim Tebow is very capable, but yeah. I mean, what makes a great tight end? I think, first of all, you have to define that. And, you know, they're very important from a blocking standpoint.
Right.
Their ability to catch and elude and evade
right.
tacklers is critical. And I think he's very capable of that when you think about, you know, what an effective runner he was.
Yeah, physically, I looked it up today. The average tight end, he fits the bill perfectly. I don't know about his age, but like I said, he's the most disciplined, committed person
I don't think the age is critical. I really don't. This is 34 is still pretty young when you consider, look at some of the tight ends. I mean, you go back 30, 40, 50 years, I remember a tight end in the Super Bowl, Jackie Smith. Of course, he dropped a winning touchdown pass. He was in his 40s.
Right. And as far as Keyshawn Johnson, he's the total opposite of team player. So I don't give him any.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for the call. I mean, I'm not at all surprised. And I think as we get closer, the talking heads, the former NFL players, are going to level even more attacks on Tebow. And that's fine. I mean, we've been through this before with Tebow. This is not a new story. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check out Jeff, who is up next. Hey, Jeff, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I hate to reiterate what we've been talking about with Tim, but I thought when he got drafted that he probably, because of this quarterback style at Florida at the SEC, should have tried to be a tight end back then. But I think he's going to be great. But I think really the culture that he'll bring to the team and in the locker room will be absolutely opposite of Keyshawn Johnson. I think he'll pull the team together. And I really do hope that he does get to play and make some touchdowns, great plays. But I think he's, like I said, his role in Urban Meyer's coaching staff is probably really the ultimate goal. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think for now, I was talking to Mike Greenberg about this a couple hours ago, and he said, well, don't you think Tim Tebow's calling is even bigger? On one level, it is. Tebow has always, his number one desire has always been to help and influence people. Especially those who are less fortunate. But at some point, he is an athlete. And while he was playing baseball or football, he still does that. And I think he feels like his presence there in his hometown, and you cannot lose sight of where this is going on. This is in Jacksonville.
Right.
This isn't in Birmingham or Indianapolis or Kansas City.
Absolutely. And I'll say this. I'm a Georgia Bulldog and I always have been. Even when he beat Georgia, I mean, I have the utmost respect for that man. He is awesome. I never liked the Florida
player. I don't want this to sound as a shot at Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence does not have that type of personality. And
agreed.
And, you know, they're getting a great quarterback. They're getting a transcendent quarterback. But he is not someone that I think is going to be in Tebow's league. And, well, I mean, Tebow will infuse. I mean, and whether he ends up a coach or not, I don't know. I think there's something for him in that regard.
I totally agree. But I don't think Trevor Lawrence, which I'm not taking anything against away from him because he was great. He did well at Clemson. But he is not a leader like Tim Tebow is.
No. Well, nobody is. You're 100% correct. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against the break. We have a lot more to do. And we will continue taking your phone calls. We'll talk more about NIL. I know it's a difficult issue. But we're going to get into it with Michael Smith, who may know as much about it as anyone in the business. Let's take a break. More to come.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.